The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Last week we heard from Mark's gospel account of the resurrection, a story of an empty tomb and news of Jesus' resurrection. That's all we had in Mark's gospel. Not so much an ending, but an invitation to a new beginning. Now, what we receive in John's gospel today, and what we actually hear every second week of Easter, is what that new beginning looks like when we are in communion with the crucified and resurrected Christ. We are invited to move from death to new life in Christ. Now, the disciples in John chapter 20 are understandably grieving the death of Jesus, and they are understandably afraid. Grief can isolate us, and fear can isolate us. The isolation has the disciples literally and figuratively locked in. They are locked down. When we isolate ourselves from others, we are locked in and locked down physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And this is not how we're designed to live. And this is not what God wants for us. I know that grief and fear can get us stuck, like spinning our tires in the mud. We can't just seem to get out. And the more and more we try to spin our wheels, the more stuck we seem to get. When I've found myself in these types of situations, the reality is that I need help in order to get unstuck. If I sit in isolation and perpetuate in my isolation, I will not be going anywhere. If we continue to proclaim a message of rugged individualism, we will have a society of people isolated and afraid. Isolated and afraid to seek the help they need when they need it. We are isolated, we are stuck, and we are mortal. We don't want to think about death. And that avoidance, ironically, prevents us from truly living. Why? Because the way of Jesus calls us to deal with our mortality. We must come to terms with this and then surrender ourselves to the crucified and risen Christ. We must trust, put our faith in the one who brings us new and everlasting life. In our gospel lesson, the disciples see the crucified and resurrected Christ. The King of the universe has just been betrayed, abandoned, and executed. And this King of the universe shows us a new way, not revenge, but peace. He says to his disciples, "Peace be with you." The crucified and risen Jesus then breathes on them the Holy Spirit. And I can't help to think of the image of the Holy Trinity, of the Father as the lover, the Son as the beloved, and the Holy Spirit as the love shared between the Father and the Son, the lover and the beloved. So that love between the Father and the Son is now breathed on all disciples of Jesus Christ. That love that's shared between the Father and the Son is breathed on all of us. And by that, we are brought into communion and relationship with God in a very profound and intimate way. Now, if anyone thought Jesus was blasphemous for forgiving sins, hold on to your seat. Because what does he tell his disciples? If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Jesus is moving us out of our isolation, and we're brought into communion with God. And in our grief and in our fears, Jesus serves as a reminder that God has not abandoned us, that we are not alone. The ability to forgive sins is probably something that we just take for granted. We might not see it as radical, but it is truly radical. In the Jewish faith of Jesus' day and today, God alone can forgive sins. In fact, the holy day in Judaism known as Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is a day in which people of the Jewish faith atone for their sin. Therefore, what we are saying is so radical because the access to the forgiveness of sins is constant. It's constant through the Christian community. As members of this new community known as the body of Christ, anyone can now extend this forgiveness to another. This is all part of that new way of being human, that new way of being community in the crucified and risen Christ. Notice Jesus does not ask us to isolate or shun people for their sins. Notice Jesus is not asking us to hold people captive because of their shortcomings. Jesus is not asking us to, he's not only asking us to forgive, giving us the authority to forgive people, but he's also asking us to release them from their burden. Releasing people from the burden of their sins, the burden that they're carrying with them, to bring them out from their isolation into fellowship with the holy community known as the church. Jesus is alive, my sisters and brothers. Jesus lives, and we have new life through him by the forgiveness of sin. And the mission that we're called to carry out in this world is to announce and share that forgiveness and that new life that we have in his name. The good news that we have in the crucified and risen Jesus is the persistence of our Lord. He keeps seeking us out. Jesus is not giving up on us. Remember in John's gospel, Mary Magdalene, just before our scene today in John chapter 20, has told the disciples that she has seen the Lord. None of them seem to believe her. And then Jesus appears to the other disciples, except for Thomas. And Thomas doesn't believe. The God that is revealed to us in the scriptures, from the creation of the world to the Word made flesh at Christmas, from Palm Sunday to Good Friday, this God who is always faithful to unfaithful people persists in pursuing us. This God's not going to give up on you. He would then reveal himself to Thomas as we hear today. And we too hear some assurance that the disciples are not reporting a hallucination or a ghost. They're encountering a resurrected body, a real body that has been transformed and glorified. Yet the marks of the crucifixion remain. Even in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can't avoid or ignore the cross. That's what I've been hammering in throughout Lent, right? You can't avoid the cross. And in the resurrection, you can't avoid it. The marks, the wounds remained. And it is a reminder that the one we put our faith, hope, and trust in is the one who was crucified and risen for our sake. I know my internship supervisor, he lifted up Thomas as one to be admired because Thomas wanted to worship the real thing. He wanted to see the wounds and the marks for himself. The wounds are a testament to our Lord's persistence and a witness to our salvation. A glorified body with the wounds still present gives us an image of the kind of people that we are to be in this world because we are sent. We hear that in our gospel lesson today. The crucified and risen Jesus says to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." You are brought out of your isolation, and we are sent out together with liberating news and a ministry of promise to bring others into holy community, into new life and new love that we have in Jesus Christ. And that's a theme that we have in our other lessons. It's about being a new community in Jesus. As Matthew De La Roya puts it, Jesus likewise sends us into the world, empowered to do the same works. Of course, unexpected losses will come our way. Jesus never promised faith would be easy. But now our losses also become gifts, because as we share our pain and suffering with others, they can trust that we really do know where they have been and where they are going. They can unlock their doors and let us sit with them in their sadness, no longer isolated, but together as the living body of Christ. As I shared with you last week, how powerful and healing the bereavement group that I've been part of has been, that's what we're getting at here. People that will unlock their doors and allow us to come in and to journey with them. We share our losses and our pain. We listen to their loss and their pain. And we point to the joyful hope that we have in Jesus Christ. On this second Sunday of Easter, we're pulled out of our isolation and called to live and function as a community in a variety of ways. We're reminded in all our lessons that fellowship is more than just social get-togethers. Fellowship is a commitment to each other. It's a commitment to the community. And it's a commitment to all those that God has called us to minister to. Fellowship is walking with each other, sharing what we have, sharing our time, talent, and treasure with one another and the community at large. Our joy is complete in Christ. And we know him to be, as we heard in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We're not called to isolate ourselves with this good news. We cannot isolate ourselves with this news. Let us not live in fear, but in love. In the love with the God who is love. In the love with the God who has breathed the Holy Spirit on us. The God who has given us the authority to announce the forgiveness of sins. To share with them the new life that everyone has in this world through Jesus Christ. Let us not live just for ourselves, but as Christ lived, for all people. Let us share of ourselves and what God has blessed us with so that others may hear, see, and believe through our witness as members of the body of Christ. Let us live into the reality of having life in the name of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.